Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. It's so nice to see all of you today. My name is Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined in facilitating today by Liz Gannon Graydon, who is on the board, and also Yelena Popovich, who is in her car right now, so she's not playing video games. But she's our Teaching Peace in Schools lead, and she joins us today also to help facilitate. The Peace Alliance empowers civic action toward a culture of peace. And we do that by educating, advocating, and mobilizing grassroots networks of people to support our five cornerstones and the legislation that we advocate for. The Hope Story Circles have been going on for several months now. We're really enjoying them and bringing people together to share stories. For those of you who are new, we start off with a speaker who tells a story, and then we'll go into breakout rooms in groups of three where you can share your own stories. So, and then we'll come back together to share what happened there. So our guest today is a dear friend of mine, Marcy Cole, Dr. Marcy Cole. And Marcy, you can unmute yourself. Do you know how to do that?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome. So glad to see you today.
Thank you, honey. Thank you for having me. It's so beautiful to see all these, a lot of beautiful faces and some names popping up. It's wonderful that you're doing this. Thank you for having me.
It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So Marcy, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a psychotherapist, holistic psychotherapist, and what else?
Yes. Okay. Well, yes. I divide my time in a few ways. I'm a holistic psychotherapist with working with adults and children and families. I also work part-time at a school here in Bel Air, California, teaching mindfulness and social emotional learning to the children, faculty, staff, and parents. And I facilitate what has traditionally been a women's group called First Tuesday USA. Terry's a part of it, that has an online forum, as well as we had live events. Now we're switching into a virtual world. And First Tuesday is just really about creating community through social connectivity and professional networking and social service. So that is my world as it stands.
Yeah, it's a great full world. First Tuesday, I have to give a plug for First Tuesday. It's a wonderful group of women from artists, healers, professionals. It's just a marvelous connecting force. So I highly recommend it, First Tuesday. We're going to start today with just a little bit of a meditation to get grounded before you can tell your story, Marcy, and share with us today.
Sure.
So I'd like to invite everyone to just relax in where you're sitting. Feel your body rest against your chair. Feel your shoulders drop. Take a breath. Inhale and breathe out. And let the breath go in again and out. Let your eyes relax. Close them if you like. And sense the air around you. Sense the air on your skin and on your face. What do things smell like right now? What are you tasting? What is the feeling in your legs, in your feet, and your arms, and your hands? Let your shoulders relax away from your earlobes. Let your back go long and feel your body support you and relax around you. And another deep breath in and out. And breathe in and out. And one last breath in and out. And now just feel the normal rhythm of your breathing. And one more deep breath in and out. And open your eyes when you're ready. And again, we welcome you. So Marcy, what story is emerging for you right now?
Well, again, thank you for the invitation to share. I thought about it in relationship to the Peace Alliance and everything, that all its mission and what it's, you know, serving in the world and how to create inner peace and peace on the planet, right? And that's the ultimate wish. So, you know, what comes to mind is for me is the whole Black Lives Matter movement that everyone's aware of that's happening in America that is not new, but it's a resurgence of it that has created a sense of hopeful awakening for all of us. And as a result, it's kind of inspired my own reflection of my own experience and my own reckoning with that reflection and my own inquiry in terms of what to do from here, right? And so, you know, in my reflection experience, I've thought about, okay, so to what extent have I had access and relationship with Black individuals in America? And the truth is it's actually very, very small. And I'll get to that in the reckoning piece of the experience, but in the reflection, I mean, I was raised by a Black woman while my parents were working. And her name is Kaze, she's in the heavens now. She came to work for my family when I was 5 or 6. And I cried the hardest when I went to college when I said goodbye to her. I wish I knew more about her experience as a child, actually. But I do know that she didn't get past the 8th grade in terms of education. But she had more heart education than anyone I've ever known. I mean, she was just pure love. So I remember being a little girl and referencing, I don't remember if it was Black or Native American or African American, but she corrected me. She got very angry with me. I was 6 or 7 about the term. I think I said Black and she wanted to be called African American at the time. I'm not clear, but I remember, you know, these moments where you remember something that startled you. And I remember, I didn't understand the context at all. You know, I didn't understand. And, but that was the only time I remember that coming up, but I do remember it. So it's interesting what we remember, what we don't remember in life. Fast forward to high school. I was really tight with this, Black young man named Michael. He was the quarterback of the football team. And we created this in, you know, beautiful friendship. And then we lost touch. High school ended, we lost touch. I was in Washington, D.C. for a summer. And a few years later, in a lobby organization on Capitol Hill, and I was at a grocery store. And all of a sudden, a man's arms around me, literally around my waist. And that was scary, right? It's like, and I hear Marcy Cole, it's Michael. And it drives me crazy that I can't remember his last name because I've been thinking about him a lot. And I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing here? And I don't even remember what he was doing there. We go out to dinner. And this is the first time, again, something I remembered that stuck in my heart. We had dinner and he told me what it was like to be a Black young man driving a car on the highway and being pulled over. And it had never occurred to me before. Like, again, it was outside of my radius of experience and understanding. And you know, anyway, he's been on my mind and heart for a while. And I would just love to see him again, see what he's doing in life. But I remember Michael. fast forward to college, you know, I had a roommate, there were a quad of three girls, and there was a Black girl that was assigned to the room. And I remember wanting to know her, wanting to get to know her, having, you know, harmony and connection with everybody. I remember experiencing her energy as resistant and hostile, okay? And I remember feeling like, and at that age, I was 18, because I didn't understand, I was like, what's your problem? You know, like, I didn't do anything to you. And I remember thinking, is this like, I'm not racist. Is this like reverse discrimination or something? I remember feeling defensive and not. Now I think about that woman and I go, God. And by the way, she ended up moving rooms or leaving, or I don't, you know. And this was in a university, one of the top academic universities in the country. And I remember, and you know, here I was in high school in a very diverse group, and I wasn't even thinking color. And all of a sudden I'm in this place of higher learning, and it's more segregated than ever. And there's sororities, Black and white sororities and fraternities. And anyway, I wish I could go back, and I wish I could again remember her name and have a conversation. Because if I knew then what I feel now, I would want to understand. I would just be like, hey, you know, I want to understand. I didn't understand the concept of white privilege and the cumulative experience for many, not all, but many Black people in terms of what they hold in their heart, and that's cumulative, and that what can get projected, but also what we don't understand. So I just wish I could go back and just ask her to help me understand what her experience has been and what it is and what we can do together to connect on a human level. And anyway, yes. So moving forward, here I am, the Black Lives Matter movement, and I start thinking more about, well, how many people in my personal bubble are people of color? And the truth is, not many. You know, I you know, again, I go, well, gosh, growing up, I didn't have that much access. And then I go to college, not much access. And then I go to Chicago and I'm working at a company. I don't remember any people of color on my floor. I don't. On the 32nd floor of a building in Michigan Avenue in Chicago. I'm like trying to go through the hallways. I can't remember. I don't, you know, I moved to Los Angeles 15 years ago. And, you know, anyway, I'm in private practice. Again, not a lot of access. First Tuesday, the women's group, I've thought about for years. I've thought about it. I've thought putting on the forum, like, hey, you know, we are an unbelievable heart-centered group of educated, beautiful women. And yet there's not enough of a rainbow of color in this room. Can we please connect with our community? But I haven't done it in a really, really proactive way. That's the truth of it. But I've thought about it so many times. And of course, this movement happens and I become even more aware of the lack of access and connection that, you know, I could count on one hand. And I have a sea of beautiful friends in this world. I can count on one hand, people of color. Anyway, it doesn't feel very good. And it shows the systemic problem. It's just my own personal experience and reflective experience. And then it's a reckoning with that, you know, reckoning with that. Wow, it's in our faces. And for me personally, it's more than ever become, you know, and it's something I desire. It's something I want to understand more. I want to do what I can. And I also want to have more access to people who resonate with my heart, regardless of what color they are, moving forward. And so then the inquiry is how to do that. How to connect with community in a larger way, how to invite more women of color into our First Tuesday circle and network in a way that Yelena discussed with me yesterday. I love the way she put it, in a way that is, you know, is proactive and is, you know, requires intention and deliberate action. How do we do that? How do I do that? Is what I'm really reckoning with and thinking about and questioning and really desiring to learn more about that. There's so many nuances, right, of this. Mm-hmm. Because I want to be able to invite people into my heart, into my personal world, and my professional world, without it seeming like, oh, well, because Black Lives Matter, this is happening. The truth is, it's just more of my own, my attention is being inspired more than ever. And so I don't know how that will be received, but I hope it's received in the spirit of which I'm feeling it and I'm wanting to reach out. And so that's, I think, part of my share for the day. yeah.
Okay.
Leave it up to whatever you'd like to do from here.
Thanks, Marcy. It's, you know, very alive for you. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're alone. I think there's probably a large swath of people across this country in particular who are feeling similar thoughts and feelings, or seeing things that they hadn't seen before. And yeah. Wondering how to move forward, how to take action, how right. to do that.
Yes, I seeing things and hearing things in books that I'm starting to read, and but also realizing that they have been thought about a little bit here and there and felt, but I know for me, I'm just speaking for my, I just haven't pressed, you know, I haven't been as proactive. And so it's learning more, it's trying to understand more, and then it's doing more. It's putting it into again, deliberate action. And mm-hmm. And I think that that's the invitation for all of us to consider if our heart is open to that and desires that, both from a place of, I'm interested, not just from a collective, but I'm interested in being enriched individually. And we know that the more we get out of our bubble, the more, you know, when I've traveled and I'm in Bali and other places, it's like these cultures and these people are just, it's mind blowing what we're able to witness and what they're able to teach us. So for me personally, I have a lot more, you know, living to do and experiencing to do and connecting to do and learning. And so, yes, that is available. I know, Terry, I agree. I think I'm not alone. I don't feel alone in this. But the more conversation we can have about it and the more exploration and discovery we can share, it's a benefit to every human, truly. I believe that to the depths of my soul. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Liz, do you want to frame the inquiry for us moving towards the breakouts?
I really would. I really thank you, Marcy, for your share. I think there are a lot of people who are struggling with this issue and thinking about it. And one of the things that Yelena said so beautifully is what we have to think about intentionally is how do we enter spaces that we've never entered before? You know, how do we be present in ways we've never been present for? And what I'd like us to think about today is how can we, I'm sure we've all been having these conversations in our private lives. And I think it was really beautiful for Marcy to share this struggle. And as we move into the rooms, what I'd like us to share with one another is, as you listen to Marcy, and you listen to her experience and her struggles, what's coming alive for you as to how you can purposefully and intentionally create welcoming spaces? And I think I just want to share something. There's a beautiful teacher, many of you know, Mickey Cashton, who's taught nonviolent communication. And I love what she said. She said, we have to create spaces so that our life experiences and needs are no longer centered as the dominant norm, leaving others excluded. Until we do this, we cannot expect our spaces to be inclusive or inviting for everyone.
Mm.
This is the proactively inquiring, hearing, and responding to all impacts and lived experiences of our space, our events, and our world. And I guess maybe as we move into the rooms, if we want to really talk about, I think there are a couple of ways we can enter this inquiry. Are there any conversations you've had recently that have really, or work you've done on your own that have opened you up into how to be more inclusive, how to be more intentionally inclusive, how to widen the world so that you're naturally going to be including people into your life. And that's kind of what we'd like you to bring back to the large share. All right. So how can we more intentionally create inclusive spaces where kind of what has been our norm is no longer centered. Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, very good. And we're back. So thank you so much for joining everyone. We had a little breakout room ourselves, which was nice. What's alive for people? Who would like to share? You may unmute yourself.
And I have everyone on one screen. Oh, yeah. No, Ed.
Hi.
Hi, Heather.
I would just like to share, it was Marcy who shared her story.
Yeah.
And in the breakout room, I was sharing with the two people that I was speaking with. And thank you for inviting me, whoever invited me to this. I appreciate it. I don't know how I got the email, but I appreciate it. But it was interesting, Marcy, because I was telling the two people that I experienced it from the other side. I was set free at birth at 6 weeks old, and I was adopted by Caucasian parents. So I grew up in a Caucasian world. So I had that Caucasian privilege too, even though the color of my skin was black. Yet at 18, when I got kicked out, I was in the city, and the black people didn't like me because I was too white. And the white people didn't accept me no more because I wasn't the cute little black girl with the white parents. So I had to undo all of my thinking and all of that. And wow. I had to accept myself. And I thought, you know, when I was listening to you, Marcy, I had zero black friends. Zero. Mm. For 18 years. Zero. So to have to be, you know, thrown into the world, I didn't know. It was a culture shock. Wow. Now at, you know, 49, it's, you know, I accept who I am. And because I was racist against myself because my mother who adopted me is a racist. And she did that so she'd call herself a non-racist woman. Yet I had to undo all of that thinking in my mind and accept and love myself. So it really isn't, you know, we're all in our bubbles. And when we're in a bubble, we don't think about, because let me tell you, growing up, I never thought about carjackings or any of the things that black, you know, that the black community thinks about. I never even didn't even enter my mind. And it's only when you're immersed in that community do you realize it. And you're like, what? Wow. Mm. It's been an experience. So I appreciate you sharing your side of it, Marcy. I really, really do. And thank you for being honest. I appreciate that. Aww. I really do.
Thank you, Heather. I appreciate you and I appreciate that. And you know, we were talking in our breakout room a little bit about everybody's experiences, their experience. There's such a plethora of variety here in terms of we can't make assumptions about, you know, right. Everyone else's experience. So yours is fascinating. I mean, and I have actually a private client who's a 21-year-old girl who's from a mixed race. And she talked about feeling very isolated in high school. She didn't feel black enough for the blacks, mm-hmm. black for the whites, and she never felt like she belonged. And you know, yeah. it's, but I'm just grateful to have this conversation.
Thank you,
Heather. Who else would like to share? Anything that came up in the breakout room? Can unmute yourself or raise your hand and I will try to help. Nothing's coming up for people.
Yes, hello, it's Lynn here. Hello. Yes, I've been working with lovepeaceharmony.org, agnt.org, Global New Thought Ministries, the Quakers group. They have a Friends Committee on nationallegislation.org, charterforcompassion.org, the Shift Network, and A Course in Miracles, you know, Marianne Williamson's programming, what have you, for shifting the legislation away from more citizen soldiers with a basic income, a place to live, and health care. that we have in 184 countries with military bases and money and jobs, to community services at Heart and Soul, the new age WPA, Heart and Soul based community services to help stop the violence and all the warring too, and drug wars. So we can actually start to shift the system with these new legislative programs for Heart and Soul residents, you know, community services that give everyone a basic guaranteed income and health care instead of, you know, a place to live on a base, learn to kill, and get health care for militarism training. So anyway, that's what I've been working on. I'm trying to get more churches and spiritual groups and peace groups and different human rights and activist groups together to help get that through. So thank you for this opportunity to share. I've been working with, like, Dennis Kucinich, who helped set up the Peace Alliance way, way, way back. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. And what is your name?
I'm Lynn, Mystic Healer.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for joining. I appreciate it.
Thank you for what you're doing. Here we go, because, you know, we didn't know that all the answers are inside each person. If they're angry, upset, that God self, that soul, that eternal soul energy is right there. We got to teach and train people how to use the intergalactic internet of their love and light energetics, their soul energies. It's right time. So anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you. Would someone else like to join it? Bonnie, I think I saw you unmute yourself. I don't know if you were going to speak.
You're correct. Thank you. Well, we definitely had a interesting conversation in our group. One of us is working on balance as being an important issue, and I mentioned smile. We had a third person in our group that I'm not seeing being in the full room before or after. So I will try to speak for him. I hope I'm not misspeaking for him. He finally came on and, you know, he gave me an interesting perspective about this that I just hadn't thought before. He has a situation in South Korea that he's working on. And it's like the same problems, but in a different country. And it just was one that I just had never thought of the situation coming about before. And he mentioned a nonprofit that he's that was needing help because of the prejudicial situation in that country. This is his claim, not mine. Mm. And he mentioned that Heavenly Cultures of World Peace, and I wrote Reservation of Light, and. Anyway, if he does come in again, maybe somebody can talk with him so that they can help him out more. I'll do some Googling and see what I can find. While I've got a chance to be on the line, there was one other thing I want to mention that I'll be putting into the chat. As I'm sure a lot of you are aware of, this past week, we had the Hiroshima Nagasaki Day. And one of the things I've always wanted to do is work on peace news, and this is giving me an opportunity to do that. I had come across some information about a nonprofit that what they did was they worked on finding trees that survived the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bomb, and or bombs, I should say. And they pulled together the seedlings and are now just starting, a couple of years ago, starting to spread them around the world so that peace trees can be planted and grown. Mm. And the thing that really blew me away when there's only less than a couple of hundred of these being planted, and about 21, 25 in the United States. They're map isn't up to date because they've been planting during COVID. And so the map isn't totally up to date exactly how and where some are planted. A tree got planted near my niece. That's how I started to find out. And the thing that blew me away was they have planted one of the trees at Los Alamos Memorial Museum, which I just thought was incredible. So again, I, in case anybody's interested, I will put the link in the chat.
I think Deb is at least interested. So do put the link in the chat. Thank you. If anyone else has a very short share, we have time for one more short one, or else we're going to start to close the call. And?
Yes, I would just like to say, hi, I'm Lois, and I'm from Maine.
Hi.
And I would just like to say that to me it's so heartening to learn about all of organizations and things that are going on and people reaching out worldwide. But there's also the other aspect of that too, that if, you know, an individual as an individual can just somehow reach or touch another individual. I believe it was Dr. Martin Luther King who may have said that, you know, I may not do a great thing, but if I can do, you know, something small, you know, small things with, you know, great heart and soul, that that has meaning and value. And I often look at it that if you can do this, or if you just do all these little things, or different people do little things, eventually enough little things are going to add up to something big. So, thank you.
Thank you, Lois. Thank you. We're going to start to close the call. I'm just going to put in the chat a few links about the Peace Alliance website, and also our Blueprint for Peace, which is an action that everyone can take. It's one click and you'll contact all of your elected officials, state and federal, to let them know that you support policy around the five cornerstones of peace. Also the link to the podcast, so you can check out the podcast for the past Hope Story Circles and also our national monthly calls the second Tuesday of every month. And there's also a link for donations. We are nonprofit and we welcome donations of any size. So thank you so much for being here today. And Liz, I'll ask you to wrap it all up for us.
Thank you, Terry. I want to share with you, given Marcy's story and response to it, a metaphor based on what's most alive in my life right now. And some of you who've been on the calls again and again will know this, but 4 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with a malignant breast tumor. And I was told it had spread to my lymph. And what's interesting for me was, you know, there's nothing more personal, right? Especially for a woman, than your breast. But once it's in the lymph, that's systemic, right? That's when people's faces drop. That's when people go, oh no, it's too late. And after I did all my tests, the doctor said, oh no, no. He said, given the whole picture, she said, not only is this treatable, this is curable. And what that did for me, Marcy, in light of your story, was to say, personal work is really, really important. But when you live in a society, we create systems together, right? And those systems aren't going to change without real deep intentional action and thought. And that idea that it's not too late for me was like, you know, some of the things seem so big, whether it's institutional racism, systemic oppression, deep poverty, global change, they seem oppressive. And I like what Lois said. I want to combine what Lois said, that we can, little acts can make a difference, but we can't neglect that we also have to act at the systems levels, right? Because once things infect our systems, it's kind of a deeper, more intentional work that we have to do. But this conversation left me really hopeful. It made me really think about the fact that we can do both. We can do the deep personal work of shifting the space around us, but we can't forget that once it hits the level of our systems, we have to continue. And we can't ignore it. You know, it's urgent. We have to act now. But it's not too late. And these calls week after week remind me, as someone just said, what beautiful work is being done and how hopeful it makes me feel in moving forward. So as we go out the week, I want us to think both. You know, what can we do in our personal life, but what can we do to really address systems that are still oppressing people? And I want to just thank you guys for rich conversation. I want to thank you for always connecting. And I want to thank Marcy especially for her story and as always, Yelena, who's on the road and came in driving through South Carolina, and Terry for always so lovingly and beautifully holding the space.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, guys.
Everyone, feel free to go off mute and say goodbye.
Thank you so much, everybody. Bye.
Thank you, Marcy. Thank you, Liz. Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.